Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host for the second hour of Authentic News right here on RBN Live, this 18th day of April, 2024. The lines are open. I'm very pleased that our first caller is Layla from Canada. Layla, join the conversation.
Yeah, hi, Jim. You're mentioning of Saudi Arabia having helped shoot down the Iranian drones and missiles. Saudi Arabia has always been, we have to remember that these are very heterogeneous people. They are not all Arabs. They all speak Arabic. They all have a similar culture because of proximity and traditions, but they are not all one people. And then besides having all the different ethnic groups, you have the different classes. And the ruling classes always have one thing in common, greed and power. So the Saudis, the Bahrainis, the UAE, Kuwait, all of those people, Jordan in particular, have been tremendously treacherous, starting way back with the British. The ruling class always ends up colluding with one another and oppressing the people that do not have money and power, just like we see it happening here in Canada and in the U.S. and in South America and in every other country around the world. Human beings are prone to that kind of thing. So let me tell you about the Jordanians. They also were shooting down the Iranian drones. They were helping Israel. Jordan would not survive without Israel. And Israel would not survive without Jordan. Why do you think the West Bank is still called the West Bank when it used to be called Palestine? That is because the Jordanian Hashemites, the ones who became kings under the British when they created Israel, they rushed off and made deals with the British and said, we'll help you. As long as when you finally take over, you'll give us kingdoms. So one of the brothers got Iraq. He became the king of Iraq. And then there was another one who took Transjordan. And he started making deals right from the beginning, not just with the British, but with the Zionist Jews, or the Zionist Europeans who claimed to be Jews because it was a convenient smokescreen. But he was shot. His grandfather, the grandfather of this particular king, who was part British, and there's a lot of divisions within that royal, so-called royal family. They're just basically Bedouin sheikhs. They're nomadic tribes who were the ones who had the power, and they became kings when the British made them kings. And in order to keep an agreement with Israel, not both Israel and Jordan have stifled the emergence of a Palestinian state. When the Jordanians had the control of the West Bank, they named it the West Bank. Instead of leaving it as Palestine, they liked the idea of the West Bank because they wanted to obliterate the recognition of Palestine. So that suited the Israelis very well. Now, who do you think gives water and electricity and whatever to the Jordanians? The Israelis. Just like the Turkish Erdogan, who pretends to appease his Muslim lower class people that he's sympathetic with the Palestinians. He's not. Erdogan cares about Erdogan. And when his people, his party, lost a lot in the recent election, then he started making noise and holding back. When the Houthis were preventing ships from getting up through the Bab el-Mandeb, which, by the way, means the Gate of Lamentations, Gate of Tears or whatever, when they prevented ships from going up there to deliver goods to Israel, who do you think created a land bridge to provide Israel with the things they weren't getting by ship? The UAE and Saudi Arabia. Don't forget, the Saudis were trying to kill off the Houthis, and they could not. So the Saudis have benefited from the spyware that the Israelis gave them so they could spy on their people to continue to oppress them and suppress them and repress them. They still have beheadings in Saudi Arabia. And these, look at how grotesque and obsequious they have become. These desert nomad Bedouin ragtag, sand niggers, who basically were nothing more than tribes with a sheikh, suddenly became rich guys who had five or six Rolls Royces, gold-plated Rolls Royces or whatever, and then they built these ridiculously tall buildings, created islands, and did they help their lower class, the poor people? No, they kept them suppressed and repressed. They would not even give them jobs. They brought in people from Sri Lanka, from Pakistan, from India, and gave jobs to them and kept the majority of their people suppressed. When Mohammed bin Salman wanted more money from the rest of his extended so-called royal family, he imprisoned them all in a fancy hotel, hung them upside down until they signed over their money to him. His goal is Vision 2030. He knows that oil is on its way out and they're going to have to create a new way of income. The UAE, Kuwait, treacherous. Saddam Hussein had more honor than the Kuwaitis, which, as you know, lied about the Saudis taking babies out of incubators. It's no different over there than the corruption we see in our governments here in North America and the Western world. Human beings are human beings. Classes, once you reach the ruling class, the king of Iraq was part of the Hashemite kingdom. What does Hashemite is, and the ite, forget the ite, the Hashemi. What does Hashem means? Ha means the, Shem means the name. They use that in Hebrew as well. Hashem, which means the name of God, the name, the special name. So that is why it should not surprise you that Jordanians and the Saudis and the Egyptians in particular seek the overthrew Mohammed Morsi. Mohammed Morsi was Muslim Brotherhood. So was Hezbollah and so was Hamas. What brought the Muslim Brotherhood? They were created when the British had a colonial office in Egypt where they were oppressing Egypt and robbing Egypt of all its wealth. They did the same in India, and they did the same in so-called Mesopotamia. So they made them kings. They had, remember, the British and the French, there was a secret 1916 Sykes-Picot Agreement where the Europeans divided up the former Ottoman empires. And then the sheikhs came running. We'll help you defeat the Ottomans. There was a woman named Gertrude Bell who was very instrumental in bringing together the tribes to agree to cooperate with the British to defeat the Ottoman Empire. She was an idealist. Ultimately, she was a woman and she was hated by the men in the colonial offices. She ended up committing suicide. All of the, at the end, when she saw the plans for Palestine and she saw what was going to happen to Iraq and she knew what role she had played, she ended up, they don't know if it was an accidental overdose or whether she committed suicide. E.E. Lawrence ended up taking all the information that she had gathered. They used to call her Khatun in Mesopotamia. That means the queen. Her title is the Queen of the Desert. Books have been written about her, but she never gets the credit. She, Churchill, and T.E. Lawrence were very instrumental in what happened to all the British colonies. Egypt, India, all of everything in between, Syria, Palestine, and Mesopotamia. They wanted the whole thing. They defeated the Ottomans. And in order for them to cooperate, they made separate deals with the British and one of them, Faisal, the one who became the king. First, he was the king of Transjordan. Then those people would not have him, so they sent him over to Iraq where they accepted him. He was buddies with Chaim Weizmann, the first president of Israel. There's always been treachery among these They only speak Arabic. That's what unites them. And even then, there are many, many, many different Arabic dialects. Let me tell you, I am not an Arab, because the Palestinians are mostly European. Most of the Arabs look upon the Palestinians as a different group. A lot of them came down through Anatolia from Europe, and they became acculturated. They intermingled with some Arabs because the Arabs came there because there were jobs in Palestine, because those who came from Europe had more education, and they always went back and forth from Europe. There were all kinds of European colonies within Palestine. That's why it was never one particular, none of them were ever really a nation. All of them had they migrated with the seasons and with the pastures over the seasons in order to feed their flocks and pasture their flocks. And they were constantly raiding one another. There was a code of honor in the desert. If somebody from the desert came to your tent and asked for refuge, you were honor-bound to help them. Once that man that you helped was out of your desert, he was game. You could then go stab him in the back and steal what he had. It's just, they're very, very treacherous. There is a poem. I can't remember the name of the author right now, a British poet. And I remember the last lines were, and they fold their tents like the Arabs and silently steal away. They're always very quiet in the desert. They are the descendants of the Sumerians, the Akkadians, the Assyrians, the Elamites, the Medians, the Persians, the Chaldeans. And then you have the Indians. And even north of India, you have people from the Indus Valley who migrated into They used to trade with one another. Most of them were always at peace when they were trading. The most sophisticated were the Canaanites, the northern Canaanites, which is what the Phoenicians were. And the Phoenicians became the Lebanese, as well as the Palestinians, because they migrated downwards from Anatolia. All of the kingdoms of Anatolia were primarily European. You've heard of Croesus, that rich king, and you've heard of Midas. They were all kingdoms in Anatolia, which was larger than modern-day Turkey. And then you have the Mongols who came into Turkey. And then you have the Persians, who had a huge empire all the way into Greece. People have always been warring with one another. And amongst all the different groups that compete with one another, there is always the ruling class. And once things settle down for a while, the ruling class takes care of itself. And they turned to Israel. Why? For at least 50 years, all of the Arab kingdoms, the ruling classes, have been cooperating with Israel and helping Israel. And Israel has been giving them spyware so that they could keep track of their people and keep them suppressed and repressed and under their thumb. And in order to make sure that they had control, as I said, they would bring in people from Southeast Asia, Filipinos, Sri Lankans, whatever, to do the work. And the Palestinians, when they had to find somewhere to seek refuge, and they went to those Arab countries, if they did manage to find work there, and usually they were the best educated, because even before the British took over and created Israel, a lot of them had gone to Europe to get their educations. So they were useful in the Arab countries, but they were never allowed to get citizenship in any of the Arab countries. They were never allowed to buy property. They were never allowed to feel at home. The Palestinians were always considered the outsiders, somewhere between Europeans, but certainly not Arabs. I'm not an Arab. I am not even a Palestinian. I am a Tashmia. We identified with our tribe and with our town. I am a daughter of Bethlehem. I would be called Bethlehem, Bethlehemia. That's what I was called until we left. That's what we were. So that is why there never was a strong, united Palestinian identity, because even the Muslims within Palestine, there's the Shia, there's the Sunni, and then There's another group of people called the Druze, D-R-U-Z-E. Many people believe the Druze are the remnants of the Druids, which came when they were thrown out of the Christian countries in Europe. They ended up living in the mountaintops of Syria, Lebanon, Turkey, and all of the upper levels in Lebanon, primarily Lebanon. Jumzat was one of the most influential. And they have never belonged, whichever country their hilltop town is in, they are loyal to that country. You cannot convert to become a Druze, and you cannot leave the Druze. And they never put anything in writing, just like the Druids never did. Everything was oral. So there is so many divisions amongst the Arabs, there will never be unity among them. Except the most honorable amongst all of the people in that region of the world are the Iranians. They are the ones who have more compassion than any of the other. There are, of course, some Arabs, the Christians. That is the problem. The Christians, yes, they were driven out primarily after Israel was created. However, if you look at the history of Alexandria, after Alexander was there and he brought in the Hellenic tradition and Greek Orthodox, and then the Romans came in with their Roman Catholics, the Catholics, the pagans, and the Jews were constantly killing each other in Alexandria. It's an area of chaos, but the most treacherous of all are the Jordanians and the Saudis. Now, the grandfather of this Saudi fake king, who's basically just a he was more honorable. They tried, Churchill and Weizmann, Chaim Weizmann, tried to bribe him to sell Palestine for £20 million. When the British declassified their documents in 2004, there was a letter there acknowledging that they tried to buy Palestine from Ibn Saud, and he refused. If that man, who was probably the grandfather of MBS, that creep who is there now in Saudia, if he were alive today, he'd have this man, this grandson or great-grandson, beheaded. And remember, he had tons of wives, and in order to unite the tribes of Saudi Arabia, the king married many women, one from each tribe. That's how they got together and formed an artificial identity of being a Saudi Arabia. But it was called the Empty Quarter. The Empty Quarter, and they paved it over. Now we hear about the flood in Dubai, or is it Dubai? I think it is Dubai, or one of the cities in the UAE. They're either seeding the clouds, or they've been experimenting. They're cooperating. They will swing one way or the other. The ruling classes are going to cooperate with Israel. Do you think Israel could have survived this long without their collusion? There's no way. So it's hopeless. The only ones who are going to save what little that remains of the Palestinians will be either the Iranians, the Russians, and the Chinese. And, you know, maybe the Turkish people, yes, certainly not the Turkish leader.
Layla, that was
magnificent.
Magnificent, Paul. Thank you. You are welcome anytime.
I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured. Now I find a change of mind, I'll open up the door.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Do you truly want to stay out of the system? Are you prepared to buy into the biggest scam since the Iraqi dinar? If not, then put your money where it belongs, in your possession, not in the hands of an international MLM cartel. At Kettle Moraine Limited, we will provide you with the finest Swiss-minted detachable gram sheets of pure 24-karat gold for hundreds of dollars less than the so-called privately issued credit cards with elusive gold backing. Gold backing? The only gold that I want is in my back pocket, not backed by promises of an operation even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is suspect of, giving a rating of C-. To get the full story, visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com and go to the Valcombe Bullion Vault. Once you have read the whole story about the scam being perpetrated on an unsuspecting public and how you can avoid being a victim by purchasing these beautiful, barterable, tradable sheets of gold at tremendous savings and in the strictest of privacy, be prepared to take the steps to protect your wealth with the purchase of the real deal. Detachable 50-gram gold bars from Kettle Moraine Limited by calling 602-799-8214. Ask about our 1-ounce Valcombe detachable bars, which break into 1/10-ounce bars. And don't forget, for all of your precious metal needs, whether buying or having the need to sell, call Kettle Moraine Limited. Remember, no dinar, no celery, and no carrots. If you buy from someone else, tell them you want AU, not BS. Call Kettle Moraine LTD today at 602-799-8214. Kettle Moraine LTD, 602-799-8214.
Let me just say that if my source is correct and there's been an agreement that the U.S. is going to hit Iran and Israel is going to attack Rafah, they need a pretext, a justification for the U.S. to hit Iran, because there is none at present. And that means we should anticipate a false flag, a phony attack that's going to be blamed on Iran. Even though it sounds far-fetched, we have lunatics running the asylum. Believe me, Jim, we're in a treacherous situation. Yeah.
Jim, we have lunatics running the world. David Cameron is a scumbag. I just want to say one thing before I proceed. For
sure.
Any American who ever fought in the war, in any of the wars against the Arab countries, you have no reason to feel bad. You have no reason to feel guilty. You were following orders. You believed what your government told you. You behaved honorably if you were patriotic. So there's no reason to feel badly. If anybody, look what happened after Iraq was destroyed. There were civil wars in neighborhoods. What happened? All of the repressed identities of tribal loyalties suddenly emerged. It needed a tyrant in order to keep Iraq united. That's why Saddam Hussein was needed, to keep Iraq. And he did a great job. He liberated women. And he also made sure women were educated. It was a beautiful, civilized city. So it was destroyed, unfortunately, because that is what Israel, the Zionists, wanted. They're not They're not really Jews, but we'll call them Jews to humor them. Let's call them Israelis. They're basically terrorists who got together and forged a fake identity. And they thought, oh, hey, a good identity to take would be the Old Testament. We're Jews. Let's take that. And we'll use that as our excuse, because there are so many crazy evangelical Christians who don't really know what Christianity is, that we can distort it and ruin it and use it to make them our servants. They're the elders of the Protocols of Zion. That's what it's all about. Now, this idea of any of the Arabs being crypto-Jews, they're not crypto. They are Jews. The Jews were among them. The Yahudim, Yahudu. That's who they were. They were all over the Arabian Peninsula. Many of them are still in Tehran. There are many, many Jews in Iran that live there and are loyal to Iran. There are also some Jews there that are traitors and are spying for Israel. But there, and by the way, there are three categories of Jews. There's the European, the absolutely fake Jew, who might 2,000 years ago have had a teeny bit of blood from Judah. And then you've got, those are the Ashkenazim. Then you've got the Sephardi, which means North Africa. Then you've got the Mizrahim. Mizrahim comes from Masr. The name for Egypt in Arabic is Masr. Mizraim. There are many, many, many Jews that were in Egypt. And they're the Mizrahim. They're all over the Arab world. And to learn more about them, there's a very short video by a guy called Shlaim. God, what is it? Anyway, it's called The History of the Forgotten Arab Jews. Very short video. He did it on Middle East Eye. And they consider themselves Arabs.
Yeah. One of the most...
Shlaim, that is his name. A-V-I-S-H-L-A-I-M. They were Arabs, but they just still... They never abandoned the first... Actually, the first monotheistic religion was Zoroastrianism, which came out of Iran. Not really, actually. It was practiced in Iran by the Persians who conquered as far as Greece under Cyrus the Great, Cyrus the Achaemenid. And he, by the way, according to Purim, which was celebrated on March 23, he's supposed to be the daughter of this woman called Esther, this Jewish woman. That whole story is baloney bullshit. It was a poem or a novella that was written in Persia, and they threw it into the Bible, and they said that Esther was the mother of the mother of Cyrus. His grandfather was the king of Elam, the Elamites. And he defeated his own grandfather, who trained him in the military. This is Cyrus. He was a very benign. I don't know that he was benevolent. He was a military strategist. He was very tolerant with the people he conquered. So he had a great kingdom because everybody was willing to obey him, because he did not force any religion. He allowed them to practice their own culture, their own religion. He left them alone. Wait, all they had to do was pay tribute.
Well, I'm already looking forward to our next conversation. This was magnificent. I cannot thank you enough.
Thank you, Jim. I've been trying to say all along. It's just you can't hide it anymore.
Thank you, Layla. Wonderful.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation. But today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Well, we've missed Layla, so she was making up for a lot of lost time, which I greatly appreciate. Among her observations, I'd like to accent her remarks about Iran being a profound civilization. In my judgment, the Iranian people may be the most moral civilized among all the nations of the world. I have visited Iran before. My interaction with Iranians has been extremely positive. They're very fair-minded. They're extraordinarily civilized. They're very sophisticated. The idea of demonizing Iran as a terrorist state, as both Israel and the United States have done, is despicable. It's an inversion of values. Look in the mirror, Israel. Look in the mirror, United States. You are the terrorist states, not Iran, not Russia. Just shocking. Dave in New York, join the conversation, Dave.
Jim, I hope you got all that that Layla said. It's so much material and a little out of my ballpark. Can you summarize the relevance of a couple of these things that she said to help us out who are more challenged?
No, she's talking about the complexities of of life in Palestine and in Israel today, and that there's not a single homogeneous Palestinian population, and that the Israelis have been exploiting their power and authority over a people to whom those lands legitimately belong. It's a horror story. And Layla has a role of very much a historian. She knows the intricacies and the details remarkably. She was a noted journalist in the past. She's been a television anchor, extremely successful and popular in the past, Dave. Go ahead, give us your...
I can certainly believe that. I think that the... one thing that stood out, she said there's a lot of former Hebrews, basically, she's saying, who are all over the Middle East in these Arab countries, and it's not even mentioned. So this is very interesting.
In Iran, you have Christian and Jewish populations interspersed, and they all live in peace and tranquility. In fact, that was very much the case in the Middle East until Zionism reared its ugly head and the politics became far more serious and severe and sadistic, sad to say. Go ahead, Dave.
Clue about this. So I really appreciate it. Jim, you mentioned, and I was wondering what the reference was, if you have it offhand or if you could provide it later, about Pfizer saying there were nanobots that changed the genetic code in the vaccines.
Hang on up. I got it right here. And of course, see, for all the shows now, Dave, all the shows with all the stories I discuss are posted. And right. So here it is. It's actually from a BitChute video. Pfizer admits that I'm pulling it up. I'll even play a bit of it here while we're conversing.
Lightsabers are finally a reality, and you can own one.
The ads are always being stacked now. Here we go.
Independent researchers have been warning for years that COVID mRNA vaccines contain secret ingredients. And now we have confirmation of this claim. A deep dive into Pfizer's murky history reveals that they partnered with an Israeli to develop programmable nanorobots to be injected into people to alter their DNA, issue them with an IP address, and connect them to the internet. This may sound like wild science fiction, but when you see the stone-cold evidence that we've got coming up for you, it'll be clear that what sounded like a horror movie suddenly looks like a living nightmare for the vaccinated. Before we dive in, subscribe to the People's Voice Rumble channel if you haven't already, and join the People's Voice Locals community.
Yeah, this is a Rumble channel, and it's X Andrew X, also at TPV Sean, TPV Sean. In any case, Dave, the link is right there in our stories for today. Please continue.
It seems so stupendous to us that we wouldn't have thought of this before. The only problem is John Moore has mentioned a number of times, and there's a lot of people talking about these IP addresses that people who are vaccinated apparently are showing. I haven't verified any of it myself, but maybe something really to this, and stay tuned.
Good, yep. Dave.
On its face at all. I just need to verify it. That's all.
Sure. Good. Yeah, you're welcome and to report back about it. Did you have anything else you'd like to add? Phil in Florida. Phil, join the conversation, Phil.
Oh, hello, Jim. Thanks for a good show once again. I was looking on a clip from the Jimmy Dore show recently, and he was talking about, he had Scott Ritter on, and he was talking about how prior to October 7th, he knew nothing about the Nakba, knew nothing really about the 67 wars and all that stuff. He knew nothing about it. And this tells me something, that we have an opportunity here, Jim, to those of us right now, in April of 2024, with all that's that could possibly happen, this is a window of opportunity right now where we could bring, people are open to hearing the dirty laundry about Israel, you know. And that clip with Jimmy Dore really solidified that with me. And I was thinking about the work of Christopher Bolin, who you're aware of, who really did a lot of work tying into Israel's part in the 9/11 attacks. And I think this is a good opportunity right now to bring 9/11 back, now that Israel's being looked at, and try to get Christopher Bolin's work.
Well, I like that. Now, Bolin is very good on the politics of 9/11, but he's weak on the science. I mean, I like the guy. I think he's doing a lot of good. But he doesn't really have a very firm grasp of the science, that's all. I mean, he's willing to talk about who is responsible and why, which he does in an expert fashion. And that puts him head and shoulders ahead of architects and engineers and Judy Wood and Dews, because neither architects nor Judy Wood are willing to talk about who is responsible and why, in the absence of which, for most Americans, technical issues about nanothermite versus Dews versus nukes is very obscure and insignificant, even though if you understand more, you realize how it was done can be a key indicator of who is responsible, because 19 Islamic terrorists and Osama bin Laden didn't have access to nuclear devices that were used to destroy the towers, and that tells you a lot right there. Go ahead, Phil. More.
Well, I'm just saying, someone like Chris, people who were doing work to tie Israel, you know, expose Israel's part in 9/11. This is what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm not saying that Christopher Bolin's the end all and be all of it. I'm just saying your work, Kevin Barrett's work, you know, the people who did 9/11 missing links. If we can just an opportunity for activists and people like yourself, like Christopher Bolin, like others who took on the 9/11 Israeli connection, to bring them back into the spotlight here, and let's tie these devils to what they did, man. Yeah. You know.
No, I like that. I think there's something to that. I'll work on that. Good stuff. Other thoughts?
Going to listen to the next one. Good. Thanks so much, Jim. Thank you. Much please.
Good call. Good call, Phil. Rick in Arizona, join the conversation, Rick.
Yo, doctor. There's a lot of talk on the radio today, on Super Trump Radio, Charlie Kurtz. Go just listen. And they're all, you know, having a fit over Mike Johnson doing a 180 on him. Did you see that?
No, but I've been reporting on him. I've been complaining about him for the last several shows. Actually, I think he's a traitor. He certainly betrayed the Freedom Caucus, and he is going full blown. I think he's going to be. He's the equivalent of a Democrat speaker at this point, as I see it, Rick.
Yeah, but what nobody has talked about is that he had a meeting with Donald Trump just a couple days ago, and then he did the 180. He had been preaching about that we need the border package before I ever sign anything to go over for any foreign aid. He was steadfast on that. He had a meeting with Trump 2 days ago, and now he's did a 180. Nobody wants to talk about that. You know, and Donald Trump talked, I think it was like 6 months ago, Trump said, don't sign a border deal until I get there. And so, if you're an investigator...
Well, that's bad if that's the case, Rick.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody was murdered close to Mike or to Donald Trump, and Mike Johnson was just there 2 days ago, he'd probably be a possible suspect.
Yeah, Rick. I know you like to find angles to attack Trump, okay? And I know Trump is still our best. I don't care how flawed he is. There's no alternative to Trump to do anything to save the nation. But if he did that, that was wrong. We need to secure the border at the earliest opportunity. If I can track that down, if you have some specific links or sources, share them with me. Mail them to me, and I'll check it out, Rick. But Well, you know, I don't think your constant needling of Trump is all that constructive. I'm willing. I'm hypercritical myself, and I've called him out repeatedly over an excess of zeal for Israel. But the idea that he would have Mike Johnson not continue to insist on a border deal, that would floor me. So you're onto something there. Send me some links or something I can sink my teeth into, if you would.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, glad you called. Meanwhile, Alexander in Canada. Alexander, join the conversation.
Hello, sir. I just want to make a couple of points. So just to finish off from yesterday, Renee is obviously a troll. That's what I have to say about that. And see, so when it comes to Israel and Iran, Jordan, the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, all these are all puppets of the United States and Israel. You see, like they told these countries, if you don't work with us, we're going to attack you like Iran. We're going to attack you like what happened to Iraq. So these people, they don't want to mess with the United States because like they don't want to be attacked like how Iraq got attacked. And Caesar, just like what you said. But just to elaborate on what you said, these people, Israel and the United States, along with the Emirates, which Israel is making deals with, they want to use the Emirates as territory to poke at Iran, just like how the United States has used the Ukraine to poke at Russia, which the United States and the Jewish establishment have instigated the war on Russia. And Zelensky is Jewish, the president of Ukraine. So I totally agree with you. Like, and see, so you said this like in a couple of months ago. Like, they're gonna make a false flag pretext operation to instigate a war with Iran. Like this was all planned up. And see, just to comment on what Lila said. See, sir, Lila spoke for like half an hour and she went all over the place. And see, so I don't agree with her when she said that the Israelis are not Jews. Israelis are Jews. And she said that Palestinians are not Arabs. The Palestinians came from Europe. You see, sir, I don't agree with that at all. I'm not going to talk about that because I want you to go to the next call. But I'm just saying, there's a lot of flaws in what she said when it comes to the ancient history and all that. And
Well, Alexander, I find her, on the whole, highly reliable. Now, the point she was making is even relatively recent DNA studies have shown the occupants of present-day Israel are Ashkenazis. They're not descendants of the tribe of Judah. That's what she meant by that. They come from the modern-day Ukraine. And Zelensky is still talking about Ukraine being the new Israel. He's still talking about that. And I think that point, therefore, she's right. And, there may be other issues, as you suggest. I think you're a serious guy, and you pay a lot of attention to detail, and I like your calls. But I think in that particular specific respect, she, I think, has it right. Give us further thoughts before we part. Go ahead, Alexander.
See, sir, I agree with the part that the Jews of today are not descendants of the Jews of back then. Yeah, but it's when it comes to the history, that's correct. But see, so I'm talking about the religion. She's saying that the Israelis are not.
She meant what I'm saying about the DNA. She didn't mean they don't profess Judaism of some form. It's just the way she talks about it, Alexander. But I think her point was. You misconstrued it. That's all. Not a big thing. Give us a final thought. A final thought, Alexander.
It's just my final thought is that when people say that Zionism and Judaism are opposite or two different things, that's not true. That's completely inaccurate. Like they're both very similar. And Zionism.
I take Zionism to be kind of. Well. Zionism, yes, because you have Christian Zionists. Obviously, it's not an exclusively Jewish phenomenon, but it is a belief in Jewish superiority. It is a belief in somehow destiny being allied with events in Israel, you know, and some of which are going to be cataclysmic. So, yes and no. I get you. Final thought. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. Sure, we just happen to have Layla back. Layla, go ahead, add on if you want to respond to Alexander, but I do have numerous other callers. Go ahead.
I do. First of all, Alexander needs to tell us what his authority is. Where does he know? How does he know more than I know? Where is he from? I can hear his accent. He's from somewhere. Arabs like to delude themselves that they are one people. Obviously, they've proven to us that they are not. The last 6 months have proven that. Secondly, he has no right to call Renee a troll. A lot of what Renee says is valid, and she's entitled to her opinion. And yeah. I initially was wondering about Renee, but since her first call, I have found her to be very credible and very informed. Alexander, who are you? Where are you from? Where
Fair
do you
enough.
Get like, your knowledge? I can tell you where I got my knowledge.
Yeah. Layla, good. I'm glad you had the opportunity to respond. I do feel...
Thank you, Jim.
You got it. I do feel Renee goes overboard attacking white men in particular. James in Vancouver. James, join the conversation.
Good afternoon. Iran struck in Israel the night of Saturday night... And rained a whole salvo of projectiles on Israel. Now, has Israel struck back yet?
No, not yet, but they're in the process of figuring out what they're going to do.
Well, yeah. This is my
according. I don't know if you got my report after the break where I had a caller who has good intel connection says they've made a decision that the United States is going to attack Iran and that Israel is going to launch an attack on Rafah. And I hope it's wrong. Since there's no obvious justification for a U.S. attack on Iran, they're going to have to stage a false attack in the United States and blame it on Iran. That's what I'm now most worried about. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I would offer the opinion that the Israeli-American relationship is so divided that they're not able to do brinksmanship at this point in time. And if they were powerful, they would have struck back. Now, one of the reasons why they can't strike back is I believe Iran and all the countries in that Uzbekistan, Tajikistan area all have a plethora of Chinese military, technical, and scientific advisors in those areas. And this has been building up for a long time. So that now the whole power has shifted toward China and Russia in such a way that now Israel and America are not able to strike back to you.
Yeah. Well, I think Israel's going to do something, and I hope it's not the slaughter, more slaughter of Palestinians. In that case, I just assume Israel were wiped off the map because this is so inhumane. And the United States is on the wrong side of history and displaying its own corrupt attitude by being at all supportive of genocide. We ought to be condemning it, cutting off the weapon flow. That would bring it to a halt. And it's a disgrace the United States has not taken that stand instead of supporting the ongoing genocide, which makes us accomplices. We are going to stand condemned in the eyes of the International Court of Justice and world opinion for all of this slaughter, and we deserve it.
We've done that before, but let me try recapitulate here. Iran struck Israel, some of those explosives got through, and now Netanyahu can't do anything because he's bound by the United States. Ergo, Netanyahu's lost faith. Now there must be fist fights in the Knesset, you see, as well as in Washington, you see. Because they're not, neither of them have the power they once had 50 years ago. See, this is the point I'm trying to make.
Yes.
I mean, neither Israel nor the United States have the power. Yes. They'd strike back in the New York minute. They can't because the Chinese are waiting in Iran to hit them. See, Iran's become a proxy of China. Back to you.
Well, I think the relationship between Iran and Russia is far stronger than between Iran and China, but it's an interesting conjecture. James, look, thanks for the call. I got three others I can try to squeeze. So, Tom, I know once you start, you're on a roll, so we may not get to Lynn or HB. Go right ahead, Tom. You're on.
Well, yeah. Good day, Jim. Good day, everybody in RBN. But listen, I'm glad you brought it up, Jim. I'm glad you said what you said about Renee. She does bash white men, so let's leave it at that. That's all I got to say. She does have a tendency to bash white men, and I don't like it. But you know what? It is what it is. It's your show, and I'm glad you brought it out, and I'm glad you straightened Rick out about Donald Trump. He's the only one we have that's running for office who has got the nomination to be the president of the United States. What do you want, Rick? Donald Trump or Joe Biden? Take your pick. I know what pick I've already taken. Now, let's go to the real thing.
It's a no-brainer, Tom. It's actually a no-brainer, so I don't quite understand these little pinpricks. Go ahead.
You're absolutely right, Jim. It's a no-brainer. But listen, speaking of no-brains, well, we got this Chucky kosher schmuck-type Schumer allowing the Mayorkas to be off the hook when this guy should be hung on a rope and it should be on national TV all over the world. But what this guy's done to our border. What are you doing? We got a bunch of white chicken hawk cowards running our government. We don't have a government anymore, Jim, after yesterday's vote. When you had 51 demon rats giving the order to this guy in Mayorkas, Cubana Havana, is not going to be tried for treason, we've lost the country, Jim, and you damn well know it. This country's over.
Yeah.
Over, Rover.
I know.
And let the coke, the kite take over. Now, listen, Jim. Do you know in the United States Senate that 9 senators and the United States Senate are Jewish? Did you know that? There could be more, but I counted 9 of them. How the hell 1.8% of the population got that much welding power in the United States Senate? How?
I know.
Blumenthal, sending it to Vietnam, the lying bastard. You got Chucky Cut-Type Schumer, that criminal. You're going to hear the whirlwind, Kavanaugh. Remember that? This scumbag, this type bastard. And I got to tell you this, Jim. A Jewish guy told me this 2 days ago. I told it to Richard Kerry. Just remember, Layla, and remember, Renee, that the Jews are the original gypsies. They're the gypsies that started it all. They are the original gypsies, Jim. Yes or no? I want to hear what you got to say about that. They're not the original gypsies, Jim.
I don't know how to respond to that, Tom, but you know, go ahead and give it. Well, we've run out of time, Tom. Call in early tomorrow. Lynn in Maryland, call in early. HP in Tennessee, call in early. Tomorrow I'll get you on. Meanwhile, everyone, spend as much time with your family, your friends, and people you love and care about, because literally we do not know how much time we have left. And support RBN. See you tomorrow.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.